Morning, everyone. Thank you for coming out early this morning. My name is Suzanne Taberge. I'm going to be talking about building early childhood systems to support child health and development. This is an analysis of progress in 50 states based on the Early Childhood Comprehensive Systems Initiatives. If any of you are familiar with ECCS, this is research that I did with Kay Johnson at the National Center for Children in Poverty. And NCCP is based at Columbia University's Mamman School of Public Health. We do research to promote child and family well-being, particularly focused on low-income children and families. Here's our mission. And Project Thrive is a policy center for the ECCS grants, and we are funded by the Maternal and Child Health Bureau. And I'm going to get into what ECCS is in a moment, but we work to help states strengthen and expand their early childhood policy, paying particular attention to the policies that address disparities and children and families at the highest risk. So I'm going to start by talking a little bit about young children in the U.S. There are 24 million young children in the U.S. That's defined as children age birth to six, and of that, you can see there's a huge proportion are low income. We have 10.5 million young children live in low income families. Low income is defined as 100 to 200% of the federal poverty level, which is $20,650 per year for a family of four. Poor is defined as less than 100% of federal poverty level, and there's 5 million children in the U.S. living in poor families. So here you can see how the rates of low-income children has changed over time. After a decade of falling, these rates started rising again in 2000, and they have continued rising over the past decade, unfortunately, over the past 6 years, rather. So at Project Thrive, we say that reducing disparities begins with babies. There are a huge proportions of early childhood disparities. At age four, poor children are 18 months behind their more affluent peers, and those gaps are still there at age 10. They don't go away. By third grade, low-income children have about a third of the vocabulary as middle-class children on average. And as you all know, poor and low-income children are less likely to visit a doctor or a dentist. Lots of children have mental health needs and are not receiving services. One in 10 youth has such a serious mental health problem that it impairs how they function at home, at school, et cetera. And while the onset of major mental illness tends to happen a little bit after early childhood, more symptoms can start showing up 7 to 11. The factors that predict early mental health problems can be identified in the early years, so it's important to start looking then, too. So there's a lot of barriers to early childhood services, including lack of political will, lack of policy built on scientific evidence, as we were just hearing, lack of funding, of course. The services that are provided are really spread across many domains and many agencies. They're not well linked. There's not a clear policy framework for states to follow, and there's redundant services. There's similar services are provided by various agencies, and again, they're not well linked. So at Project Thrive, we have one part of the solution, we think, is systems building, helping states build and link their early childhood services together to create systems. The theory of systems change says that linking early childhood systems will provide, help kids get better care and families better services. So the state ECCS initiatives, it's a federal block grant provided by the Maternal and Child Health Bureau, and it helps states function better. We know that families are very overwhelmed. We know that families are overworked. So these initiatives are trying to help states help families with intentional policy development. There are five core components of the ECCS initiatives: access to health care and medical homes, which would cover comprehensive physical and child development services, physical health care and child development services, social emotional development and mental health. This is something, stuff like mental health consultants or maternal depression screening would be an activity in that component. Early care and education services, that would include activities such as quality rating systems for early care programs. Parenting education, this parenting education workshops, programs, et cetera, provided at the community level. And family support services, which are services provided to address family stressors. So in theory, here's the Project Thrive logic model. I don't know where the graphic is, but if you could see it, it would say improved policy and finance context leads to improved child and family services across systems, and that will eventually lead to improved outcomes. And I would be happy to show you our logic model if you want to come up and see me afterwards. I don't know where it went. Oh, there it is. Sorry about that. I thought it was a graphic. Anyway, there's our logic model. So we believe that ECCS can help reduce disparities in early childhood and by systemic intervention. We believe that systemic intervention is key to reducing the impacts of poverty and disparities and racism. Systemic intervention is necessary to reduce and prevent these impacts. And we are particularly interested in spending smarter, which is better fiscal management and children's budgets, which I will get into in a moment. And I also have some publications that we've done about that if you're interested in more detail. So over last winter, we analyzed the state ECCS plans, reports, progress reports, continuation proposals, and supplementary documents that were sent to us by the states. We created an analytic framework based on systems development theory and experience and used that to look at these plans. And it's data from the 2006 and 2007 documents, and the data has all been reviewed by the states, and we also spoke with the states directly. And when I say the states, I mean the generally the state early childhood systems coordinator, who's the person who runs the project in each state. So the results of the scan, we found that there are 47 states and plus the District of Columbia have these initiatives, so I generally just say 48 states, and 42 of them were in implementation by January of this year, and all 48 have a birth to five focus. And our review found six key factors in systems building. There's systems integration work, which includes cross-sector work and fiscal planning. And then there's governance and structural mechanisms, which include leadership, local systems development, indicators, and partnerships. And I will explain what each of those are. So systems integration means how well are states working to link and integrate various early childhood systems. It's a conceptual framework. It's sort of how are the state ECCS projects conceiving and building these systems. All 48, luckily, have conducted cross-sector program planning, and I say luckily because that was a requirement of the grant. So 44 states show parallel emphasis across the five core components, which was another requirement of the grant. In some cases, states were primarily focused on one area, such as early care and education, but they were linking with other programs and projects within the state to cover the other core components, and they were talking about how the others were being addressed. So we counted that as parallel emphasis. 41 states say they have a system of systems, but we only found evidence in about half. There's a couple theories of why that is, but when we say system of systems, we mean efforts to bring together many existing separate programs, systems, and funding streams and create structures that meld them into integrated early childhood service system. And 16 states have completed cross-sector fiscal planning or children's budgets, and another 8 states have these in progress. Fiscal analysis and planning are essential for building a state or community fiscal infrastructure to support the ECCS plans. As one ECCS coordinator said to us, a cross-system plan without a budget is difficult to implement. questions that a children's budget might look at is what dollars are allocated to services and programs, where's this funding coming from, is spending going up or going down? Sometimes it looks like it's going up, but you know, maybe it's just going up in one area and other areas are losing funding, et cetera. And it also looks at how to blend and braid local, state, federal, and private funds to provide better services and more comprehensive services. In terms of leadership, governance and structural mechanisms. These are the operational mechanisms, the actual nuts and bolts of how the ECCS projects happen. 45 states have a formally established cross-sector stakeholder group working on early childhood systems development. That means they're pulling in people from different sectors of early childhood services. And 36 states have senior state officials or governors, cabinet members or governors involved in the planning. And frequently we found that state leaders, particularly governors, were really focused on one area, education, for example, or healthcare. But that's actually still an asset for comprehensive systems building because they're talking about early childhood, and maybe you can get them involved in other issues by talking about what they're interested in. Another key component is partnerships, and as you can see, the states are partnering with a huge array of different types of people working on early childhood issues. Every state has multiple partnerships. Partnerships are really important because when you're building a system and trying to link things together, you need to talk. You need to find out what other people are doing. You need to work together, share information, share data, etc. So you can see people are doing really well at that. And in some states have formed a public-private entity to improve early childhood systems. This can be incorporated and funded, or they can be a quasi-public entity. And unfortunately, we found that only 33 states are including families in the leadership. We think that should be higher because we think that it's important to have families representing on the leadership bodies, you know, with a on-the-ground voice and saying, you know, this is what we need. Most states have focus groups or they have family support activities, but we would like to see more high-level family involvement. In some states, ECCS has been absorbed into a larger national initiative, the Build Initiative, Smart Start are some examples of that. In some other states, ECCS is the ECCS coordinator has become the person kind of managing an umbrella level coalition. If there's a lot going on, a lot of programs will all link together. And some states have even created a whole new unit of government that focuses on early childhood systems. Washington, Maine, Vermont, et cetera, a few others. Whoops. Local systems development is another important component of systems building that's helping states build systems at the local level on the ground. Jumped ahead too fast there. These are the states that are supporting local systems development, with the red dot means they have a special focus on local systems. We believe this is important because systems are at the state level, and the local level is where the services actually happen. That's where you're actually working with families. So that's why we are a proponent of local systems development. There are a few different ways that states can provide local systems development support. That includes technical assistance, formal structures such as policy or guidance on this is how you set up a local system, funding, or they can do some, a lot of states are doing some combination of this. And states are either doing statewide, which means they're building local systems across the whole state, or they're targeting specific communities that are in real need. Indicators. As you know, you're all public health professionals, so as you know, tracking indicators is really important to know what's going on. We think that results and a results-based accountability framework is particularly important for ECCS initiatives. And we found that 39 states have common cross-system outcome measures or indicators. A cross-systems indicator is one that measures change across multiple systems or domains. It looks at a lot of different areas rather than just one. And we're coming out with a publication on indicators later this winter, so if you're interested, stay tuned to the Project Thrive website. Finally, I want to talk a bit about how we assess state progress. We did a 4x4 table, so here's half the table, the systems integration half. And a state that has a high effort in systems integration, again, it's the conceptual framework, is really showing a systems approach. It has a birth to five focus, doing cross-sector program and fiscal planning, mechanisms for systems integration. That would include stuff like MOUs, ISAs, interagency service agreements, et cetera. And they're emphasizing all the sectors, whereas a state that is not so great, is doing lower on the systems integration would be still trying to talk across systems, working more on cataloging instead of integrating, only focused on one or two components, or continuing to focus primarily on Healthy Child Care America, which was the earlier iteration of the funding that's now ECCS. And governance and structural mechanisms, again, this is the operational structure. States that have a big cross-sector stakeholder group, they're supporting local systems, cabinet level or the legislative leadership, parent leaders engaged. If they have actual operational goals that are linked to specific strategies, so you can see how they actually plan on accomplishing this, that's a good sign also. And they're measuring their outcomes. Whereas if it's still kind of more informal, if they're not really including everyone at the table, they're not really building structures, they don't have senior official buy-in, that would be lower score on the governance and structural mechanisms. And we didn't really rank states on a, like, this state is the best, et cetera, down to this state is the worst. We didn't really think that was going to be particularly helpful for a variety of reasons, especially because states are all starting at different levels. There are different levels of support in the states, different levels of need and disparities. So we have each state kind of ranked on this scale, but not in terms of like a 1 to 50 ranking. And I have, we put out an analysis that has checks on how people are doing, and I have a copy of that if anyone wants to see their state afterwards. And it's all on our website also. So, key lessons learned. Finance mechanisms are really important. We really strongly encourage states to conduct a fiscal scan and create a children's budget to see how their funding is working, maximize existing funding streams, look for alternative funding, and along with that, use a cost-benefit analysis and an economic argument. Some states have worked really closely with the business community talking about this is why you should invest in early childhood because it's going to pay off in the long term for your employees now and your employees in the future. And that worked really well, and they've now got private funding from the business community. And focusing on specific populations at high risk, which varies by state but is generally low-income children. Partnerships are what grow a system. We really encourage engaging private sector and civic leaders, as well as government partners and service providers, and of course, families. One thing that we found was really important in success, a common ingredient of success was having someone who really had a vision and was really, really working to push ECCS forward. Someone who's really driven, and generally that's the ECCS coordinator at the state level, but that can also be someone someone else in state government. It can be someone outside of state government who's really working to build systems. And another common leadership component was building common ground, people who really work to lay the groundwork for partnerships and talk about why this affects everybody and why these different components work together was another good sign. Local systems. Local involvement is really required to develop systems. It's very important. While funding is helpful in local systems development, it's not required. Technical assistance can be just as good. States need to allow communities to be flexible. So, you know, I'm from New York City, and what might work for a local system in New York City, it might be really, really different than, you know, upstate rural New York, Kendall, New York, outside of Rochester. They're going to have two different needs, and states need to be aware of that when they're helping with local systems development. And finally, a statewide focus is not essential. States can just work on building systems in communities that are in particular need. Indicators, again, we got to keep track of indicators, but it's important to select an indicator set that is comprehensive enough to monitor systems development, but also specific enough that you can manage it and that it's useful. States should use a results-based accountability framework. Finally, moving forward, states need to give more equal emphasis to core components. We'd like to see more of that, in particular, the health, mental health, and family support tend to be a little bit left behind, so more emphasis on that. More states working on local system support and more focus on indicators, continuing to increase high-level leadership buy-in, and finally, new governance and structural mechanisms are required for implementation. And that includes new interagency agreements, new staff configurations, fiscal analysis, et cetera. We hope that the end results of the ECCS grants would be improved services and supports for children and families, reduced early childhood disparities, and children who are healthy and ready to learn at school entry. There should be one more slide here. Oh, there we go. Acknowledgements. Our project officer at MCHB, Dr. Phyllis Dubs-Wynn, our funding from MCHB, Kay Johnson, who's the project director, Leslie Davidson and Jane Nitzer, who are the other people who work on Project Thrive, and of course the big thank you to the state ECCS coordinators for working with us and helping us with the data, and our publications and editorial team at NCCP who created these slides and all the lovely maps. And if you have questions, speak to me and now, or ask me questions now or after, or you can always contact us at Project Thrive. If you're interested, we have a mailing list too. So, thank you.